the story. I was supposed to tell the story. This is a story, and it happens. Last night, I'm getting my notes. I'm not the best typist. You will see that on the notes. You will see that I'm not the best typist. But I have been sitting at the computer, which isn't mine. It's my wife's. Mine is a much older one that all you can do is type on it. But now you can't even do that. So I had to use hers. And I said, hers is a little bit bigger. The keys are very, very, if you can do it, and it'll get, put a word up there. But anyway, I'm typing. I have done about 8-9 pages. Hers doesn't even give me the number at the end of the page. I'm just going. And so something happens, and all of it is gone. It doesn't tell me the page number. I'm not at the end of a page. And so I said, Deborah, I need your help. She's like, I don't know, because I never go there. Okay. These are notes. Oh, yeah, these are notes. These are old notes. Last year in my small group, I don't see any of them in here. We were going through the book of Revelation. So these are crummy notes, okay? The notes that are in the clouds are great notes, okay? So she said she couldn't help me. She tried, she couldn't find them. And of course I'm upset. And when I get upset, the best thing for me to do is keep my mouth closed. So I don't say anything. I go to my room. I don't say anything. I just sit. I hadn't watched TV the whole day. I turn the TV on. That's the idiot TV. It doesn't help. So Deborah goes back to the computer. And she looks and looks. And she finds the notes. And she knows I'm upset, so she's not gonna say anything. She didn't tell me what she was doing. So she finds the notes, and so she prints the notes. And these are the notes. Out of ink. And of course, I don't know if all printers do this, but her printer, because everything is hers, her printer starts on the last page and works its way to the front. Why would you do that? But that's how it's done. That's how hers is done. So the day before, I was fooling around with her laptop, and I was able to get some. So I was able to get the first page, and then I lost it and found it. Then the next day I was doing it all, and it picks up here, okay? But that's the way the book of Revelation is too, okay? So there we go. And there, we're right where we're supposed to be. Okay, so what you have is not this, okay? You don't have this. So don't be saying, where are you? Where did you get that? Because those are old notes from a year ago from my small group. And as you can see, the typing is not the best. There's grammatical errors. There's thoughts. Okay? So, did we pray already? Okay, Revelation. That's where we're at. We're in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible. We know that. Some of us have been around a long time. Some of us have been Christians a long time. And we've read the book of Revelation. And we go, what in the world is going on in the book of Revelation? It doesn't read like the Gospels, the stories. You're here, you're there, you're everywhere. I have no clue as to what is going on. Well, you're in the right class. because when you leave this class, you probably still will not have a clue. Okay? So, let's try to define revelation. The word revelation, not the book. The book itself, revelation itself, it simply means unveiling, uncovering. If you like some of us, man, you come home and you know, not at my house. You come home and your meal is on the table, everything is laid out. That's not at my house. But you smell something and you go, I wonder what it is. Because it's a mystery. In the school system, their lunches, there are certain days they serve meat, and the kids call it mystery meat. I never had any of that, not when I was in school, but I've seen some mystery meat in schools, and I have no clue as to what they are, what's in there, and I definitely won't try. But they call it mystery meat because they have no clue as to what's in it or what it is. I do remember in high school, which is a long time ago, there was a hamburger. When you put a hamburger together, it's hamburger. And the kid goes, you know you're not really eating hamburger. Looks like hamburger. Tastes like hamburger. It must be a hamburger. No, it isn't. That's soybeans. What? No, this is a hamburger because it tastes like it. No, it isn't. Oh. So I never did eat a hamburger in school anymore. So if it's a mystery, leave it a mystery. I don't want to touch it. But anyway, revelation simply means to reveal or to unveil, to uncover. Biblically, revelation means God is, it's new information. Information that you didn't get probably in the Old Testament. But now it's new information. There's many mysteries within Scripture. Paul talks about the church. The church is a mystery. If you visit this church, yes, it's a mystery. I came to this church probably 36 years ago. And there was something about this church. The people smiled. Lots of people in this church smiled. The people were friendly. They were loving. They cared not just about themselves. And so I said to my wife, we need to go back. So we came back and we haven't left. And that was probably 81. And so this church is a mystery. Now there's lots of other churches in this community, in this city, in the world. And they're unlike this church. I'm not good at quoting, but there's Vance Havner, an old preacher. I think it was from the Carolinas. He said there are churches go through stages. First, there's the man. Then there's a movement. Then there's a ministry. I may be saying them all out of order, but the last one is there's a monument. And the churches go through stages like that, where they may follow a man. It's a movement, it becomes a ministry, and then it's a monument. It's just a building. And I am thankful our church is not like that. And so in Revelation, God is giving new information. Information that you might not see in the Old Testament. But when you get to the New Testament, it's not so much about Israel, it's about probably the church. But in Revelation, let's take a look at the first couple of verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ. I didn't even give you time to turn to it, because you're already there, right? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. He calls him a bondservant. And it It's very interesting when you read some of the scripture, especially some of Paul's writing, and he introduces himself as a bondservant. We don't do that today. Who wants to be a bondservant? Because a bondservant has committed himself to someone. He may not even get paid. Now, we hire ourselves out because we have skills. We'll hire ourselves out. But not just a bondservant. He says, a slave. I am a slave to Jesus Christ. Oh, is this man insane? He wants to be a slave. Now, in the world, especially in the world today, in the United States, we have problems. We have issues. Not only with being a bond slave, a bond servant, but being a slave. Now, Paul said, I don't mind being a servant or a slave because I know who my master is. Okay? I know my master loves me. He cares for me. He's looking out for me. He has my back. So I don't mind that. I don't mind you knowing that I'm a bond servant. I don't even mind being called his slave. Now, in America, that word is a naughty word. We don't want to hear that. But that's what God wants out of each of us. He wants us to get to that point where we would call ourselves, I'm a slave of God. I don't know if that's going to happen too much here in America, because that's a naughty word. You don't want to hear it. There's history with that word. America will get to that if God is the master, and that's what we want to get to. That was a sidebar. Okay, here we go. So John bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed, happy are you if you read this, the book of Revelation. Don't raise your hand. I'm going to ask a question, but don't raise your hand. Just answer in your head. Don't even nod your head. How many in here have read the book of Revelation more than 15 times? Why would I read something that I don't even understand? Okay. Why would I read something that causes me problems? How many have read? Don't answer. Just inside your head. Don't even nod your head. How many have read the book of Revelation 25 times? But yeah, we often do this. If something is difficult for us, we stick at it. We go over and over it again. Or we do it the easy way, which might be the American way. We ask questions. What do you think of this? Can you explain this? Can you help me with this? The more you read Revelation, you probably still might not understand some of it. But if you understand that Revelation itself explains itself, there are a lot of things in Revelation that's already explained. If you understand this, that the book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Revelation is about. It's an unveiling and a covering of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Oh, it's a mystery. Jesus Christ is not a mystery, because he came to reveal himself in the Gospels. You know, you know some things about the Gospel, that Jesus Christ came on the scene. He was born as a child. He was raised at the age of 12. He didn't get lost. His parents lost him. He was in the temple. You know that. He was confounding the elders, the priest. Then he went back with his family, being obedient to them, and he grew in favor with God and with men. You know that. He's revealing himself. So you get to the last book, which is an unveiling. He's revealing and unveiling more about himself. That's what the book of Revelation is about. That is not a mystery. The way he describes things, explains things, or point things out, that is not a mystery. But the book says, blessed, happy are you if you read the book. Now, this is your assignment. Now, I'm not going to be upset if you don't do it. But you will be upset. Next week, we're going to study, supposed to be chapter 4 and 5. There's only about 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. You can read that in one setting today. Okay? I didn't expect you to do it. But sometime, even during this class, please read the entire book of Revelation. And what you will see is that, and this is very important, the Old Testament, you have to know a little bit something about the Old Testament in order to understand Revelation. There's over 300 references to the Old Testament, specific things in the Old Testament. If any of us have been in church any little amount of time, we have heard stories, Bible stories. Sometimes I get two people mixed up in the Bible. Sometimes you be able to talk too fast and you get their names wrong. Moses is one and Noah is the other. Sometimes I put Moses on the ark and I put Noah in Egypt. And I go, did I just say that? Did I say Moses was on the ark? Yes, he was not. But you know the stories. You know the plagues. How many plagues were there in Egypt? You're going to see the number 10 in Revelation. How many days of creation? You people, you all have been to church. You've heard the story. Seven. You're going to see the number 7 in the book of Revelation. I almost said Moses when I mean someone else. Noah. That's the one. He was in the well, the big fish. How many days? Did I say Moses? See that? Noah. No, Jonah. Jonah, he was there how many days? You will see the number 3 in the book of Revelation. That beautiful woman sitting right there next to the other beautiful woman. Did you take Bible history in high school, middle school? Yeah. You know they still teach that in Chattanooga. They don't teach that all around the world. But did you have Mr. in middle school? You remember middle school 15, 20 years ago? Oh my goodness, I didn't mean to say that. Mr. Spencer in the Bible school, Bible history. All the kids learn about the 7 days of creation. And they do this little design. They make a ball with each day on it, piece of paper, and then they fold it, it becomes a ball. But 7 days, 7 days of creation, man was created on day, nothing from this side, day what? Oh, wait a minute. Surely, you, wait a minute. Man was created on what day? And we're in Genesis. We ain't even got to the confusing book of Revelation. 6th day. On the 7th day, God. Oh, that's right. In the book of Revelation, you will see the number 6. Especially when we get further on and you'll see 3 sixes. But man was created on day
6.
There you go. In the book of Revelation, you will see the number. Now, what does the number 4 relate to? Uh-oh. Number four, you in Revelation, you will see the number four because we have the, what do they call it? The cardinal directions. Do they say that? They call it north, south, east, west. The four. You'll see four angels. Scripture says in the scripture, the angels hold back the wind. The wind comes from four different directions. You will see the number four. You will see the number. Let me ask the. This is only for the intelligent one. The number. You will see that in the book of Revelation. Did you see it? Oh, you had the paper up in three. The number three. We all know what that relates to. We just did that to Noah. Jonah. We just did three and she still didn't get it. So there are numbers 10, 3, 6, 4. And then there's a big number, a double digit number, 12. You know what 12 relates to, don't you? Yes. There's the 12 tribes of Israel. There's also in the book of Revelation a double 12, which is 24 if you're from the north, 24. I don't know if you get it down. Get a double 12 is 24. There's the 24 elders sitting around the throne of God, which is just a double 12. So there are numbers. Revelation is the Old Testament is very important to the book of Revelation. And see, you're already there. You know this. You know this, so we can go on. I don't have to go back and how is it? Babes, I don't have to feed you. I don't have to chew it, put it in a spoon, then feed you. Oh, that's so gross. But you're not babes, so we won't even do that. You're mature, and we can move on. So you're blessed if you read this book. There are seven Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. And of course, we know what Beatitudes are. There are seven in the book of Revelation. God is revealing himself. I'm going to ask it. Well, does anyone know at least one of the Beatitudes in the book of Revelation? Come on, Miss. Come on, you know. We've already gone through this. I know you have at least read the book of Revelation at least once. Some of you have read it 10, 15 times. A Beatitude in the book of Revelation. Blessed are you. Come on, you got it.
We just read one. Blessed is the one who reads this book.
Blessed is one who reads this book. Yes, that's one. Give me another one other than that one. What about the marriage? The feast. What about second death? That's part of your homework, okay? You should know there are seven Beatitudes there. In fact, no, you can't see my notes because I can't see them. Yeah, I can't see them. I will tell you what each of them are right now, but I can't see them. I know some of them, but next week, we all know all of them. So moving right along, there is blessed if you read the book. That's a blessing. Now, there's not many things you receive a blessing from. If you go to work, you are going to be blessed. That's if you complete your work. You can go to work. I don't know if too many people call that a blessing to go to work, but it is. It really is a blessing because there are some places you can't find work. Now, if you have it, you've been blessed. Now, you may not enjoy your job. Sometimes I don't enjoy mine, and I do not consider it a blessing that day. But at the end of the day, I go, whoa, that turned out to be a pretty good day. I received a blessing, and I wasn't even looking for it. I didn't expect it because I didn't have a happy attitude about it. But God blessed me anyway. So, if you read, now John says in verse 4 that he's writing to what? Here's the number 7. The seven, he's writing to the what? Seven what? Seven churches. But he's not just writing to the seven churches. He's writing to all the churches. You're blessed if you read this, but you're blessed if you read the Word of God. Because the Word of God is truth. Scripture says that all Scripture is inspired by God. Book of Revelation, we see it as prophecy. It's not always easy reading, but it's the Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. Profitable for teaching, instruction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. I missed it up, but it's 2 Timothy 3:16. You can take a look at it sometime. That all Scripture is profitable, including the book of Revelation. It is profitable that you read it and we who are children of God, we who have been blessed with the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us to teach and lead us into all truth, that we can understand the book of Revelation. So you're going to receive a blessing because the Holy Spirit, God himself, is going to help you to understand it. He's going to help you to understand his word. Not only is he going to help you to understand it, he's going to help you to obey it. The book of Revelation is about overcoming. Jesus instructed his disciples. He said, you will have trials. You will have tribulations in this world, not just in Tennessee, not just in Chicago, not just in Charlottesville, not just in San Diego, you will have trouble. But I have overcome. And because I have overcome, you will overcome. So the book of Revelation is about overcoming. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be difficult times. There's going to be times I don't want to go to work. There's going to be time I don't want to put up with that kid. There's going to be sometimes I want to choke that kid. Okay? But I have the power, because of Jesus, to resist choking that kid. Okay? Okay. So at that point, that kid is an overcomer, and I'm an overcomer. That kid survived. I didn't go to jail that day. I overcame. But as Christians, during tribulation, during the time that he wrote, there was plenty of tribulation. Christians went to jail. Christians spent time in prison. Paul spent time in prison. Peter spent time in prison. Why haven't you? I've been to jail, not prison. Well, I have been to prison, only to visit. And I never ate the meal. I used to spend time in the county jail, probably about 10, 15 years, assisting the chaplain. And I would get to know these guys, and then they'd send them off. And I said, yeah, I'll come visit you. So I've been to Pikeville. I got to know the chaplain up there, and I would go in. I've been to the prison up in Nashville. I met a guy, and I said, yeah, I'll come up and see you. So we talk. So yeah, I've been to prison. Yeah. They even stepped my hand. And yeah, because I'm hard like the rest of them. I have to be. But they say, if you don't have that mark when it's time to come out, you're going to spend the night. Do not touch my hand. My hand is going to stay in my pocket. I am not going to wash my hand, and no one's touching me, because that mark is going to be there. So yes, I never spent the night there, but I've been many a days in jail and in some prisons. Why haven't you? Jesus said that we are to visit those who are in prison. You don't have to be in prison behind bars to be in prison. You can be in prison in the nursing home. You can be prison in your own home. Elderly people can't get out. You can create your own prison. We need to visit. We need to be in jail because we need to be obeying Jesus Christ and doing what he asked us to. Here we go. So it's to the seven churches, but it's to the churches of all ages, because the seven churches are churches similar to our church. And so Jesus prepared his disciples for the tribulation that's going to come. I don't know about you. I do not go out looking for tribulation. I don't go looking for it. I don't go out looking for trouble. I used to when I was young and foolish. And when I could run, and I can't even do that now, so I'm not looking for trouble. But tribulation will find you, because it's guaranteed, because of the world that we live in. Revelation talks about that. What are you to do when tribulation comes knocking on your door? And most of the time, it won't knock. It just comes in. What are you going to do? Are you going to be an overcomer? Are you going to take a stand? Are you going to say, whose side are you on? Now, we already know Jesus has our back. The question is, do we have his? Because there's going to come time when tribulation is going to come looking for you. Jesus, many times Jesus told his disciples the things he said. I am telling you this so you're not surprised when it comes. I am telling you this so when it does come, it should solidify your faith. Because I told you it was coming, and now it's here, just like I said. Because the word of God is truth. It is unfailing. It does not change. If it was true 2,000 years ago, it's true today. That's what truth is. We're not talking about a fact. A fact can change. Oh, yeah. PSA. Do not look at the sun tomorrow. Okay? Do not. Okay? No. Truth. If it was true then, it's true now. Tribulation is coming. So is Jesus. Jesus said, I will come and receive you unto myself. That was 2,000 years ago. He hasn't come to receive us. But it could be today. It could be today. We should be looking for him like that. That he's coming today. Be prepared. He's coming today. Before you leave this building, Jesus will be here. The imminent return of Christ. He's coming today. Look for him. He's coming. And what is it that he wants from you when he comes? He wants to find you obedient. That you are being faithful. Now your presence here is an indication. I don't know what size indication. Let's just start here. It's this much of an indication that you're ready. Okay? That's my point of view. Your presence here is an indication about this size that you're ready. But it's a good thing that I can't see your heart. That's something God does. Only God knows how ready you are. I can ask, are you ready to go to jail? Are you ready to go to prison? Are you ready to stand up against a wall and possibly be shot? Are you ready to lose your head by someone who's carrying a sword, a blade, or whatever? Are you ready for that? That's why I say, we're about this much ready. We're about this much ready. But Jesus was totally committed to you. How committed are you to him? The book of Revelation, that's what it's about. It's about Jesus, the living, who was dead and is now alive. And because he lives, we will live. So, death is coming. Death is a tribulation. It's going to come. Are you ready for it? I hope at some point you get past this amount. At some point, get past that. And your relationship with Jesus Christ, get past this amount. I can't say I'm that. I don't know. Sometimes you never know until it's knocking at your door. You never know. But you do. You should know. It will come. So to the churches, there are seven churches. There's that number seven. There are seven churches. I don't know if your notes, like I said, those are old notes from my small group. So those are just for your information. Okay? So we talked about Revelation. The word itself is just an unveiling. Let's see. The biblical mystery is just God is giving you information that he hadn't revealed to you prior to, like in the Old Testament. One of the mysteries is the church. A mystery to the Jews, to the Jewish nation themselves, it was a mystery. How are Gentiles going to get into heaven? It wasn't a mystery to God. It's his plan. To the Jewish people, they are blinded to the truth. They don't see what we see, that Jesus is the Messiah. They're still looking for him. They're looking for the Messiah. The Messiah has come. He's revealed himself. Some people are blind to it. They are blind to it. Some people are blind to the truth. But the revelation of Jesus Christ here in the book of Revelation, which is what we're talking about, is just an unveiling of who Jesus is. And then we get to the church. Now, church is not just the building. This is a beautiful building here. The other building that we were in, it was beautiful. There's something about that building over there that this building doesn't have. I don't know what it is, because it's something personal. But the building is not the church. What was that little thing as in Sunday school, preschool? You do the little thing, this is the church, this is the steeple, you open the door and there's the... You know what I'm talking about? I don't know how to do that anymore. Yeah, I just know it was something you did with your fingers. It's the people, the church is the people. So each church has a personality, okay? The seven churches in Revelation, they all have a personality. And I don't care where you at, what church you at, whatever people were there, if there are people there, there's going to be what? It starts with a P. Oh, yes, ma'am. Why were you all so afraid to say that? No matter where you're at, if there are people there, there's going to be problems. Because there are different personalities. There are people who are in different stages of their relationship with Jesus. There are baby Christians. There are junior high Christians. Or middle school Christians. There are college Christians. There's senior Christians, junior Christians. You can label them whatever way you want. They're people, and there's problems. That almost sounds like the musical. 106 trombones, whatever. The Music Man. Wherever you have people, there's going to be problems. Okay? But within those problems, there's also Jesus Christ, the solution to those problems. And then again, it depends on your maturity whether you're going to resolve the issues or not. They'll know we are Christians by our love for one another. Oh, see, we don't always say that. We say they will know that we are Christians by our love. I think it's they will know we are Christians by our love for one another. And we don't always hear that. For one another. We just hear, by our love. I love you. Can't stand you, but I love you. Don't want to have anything to do with you, but I love you. It's a deed. Love is a deed. Love is action. It's easy to love someone when they don't live with you. Now, when they live with you, that's a different story. Wow. You mean I have to speak to you after be kind to you? I have to not choke you? Those are being kind. That's not even one of the letters, L-O-V-E. Kind is not in there. It's no way, no form, no fashion. But love is action. You can tell me you love me. I know. I know it's superficial. I know what you're saying. But when you do something for me, and it's done and out of love, now I know. You know what? You really don't have to tell me you love me, because I know it now. What's the old joke about? Been married. Hank, congratulations. What is it, 50 years? 49. 40, oh, I gave you one extra. 49 years. The husband say to his wife, this is not Hank, I don't want to infer that it's Hank, this ain't. His wife said, the last time he told me he loved me, it was the day we were married. We've been married 49 years. He said, well, if I haven't told you that I don't, then I do. Okay? That makes sense to you, doesn't it, Hank? After 49 years. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, a week ago, my wife and I, we celebrated 39 years. I don't always tell her I love her. But hopefully she knows it because of what I do. Because of the, don't, now, in my small group, I would always say things that would get me in trouble with my wife. And the small group people, they would go and tell her, he said this. Now, you all aren't going to do that, right? But I hope my wife knows that I love her because of the sacrifice that I make for her. I hope she loves me. I know she loves me. I said it wrong. I know that she knows that I love her because I'm there, because of the sacrifices, and because of things that I do for her. Now, I don't always say that I love her, especially when I'm leaving home, I say it. I'm leaving, gotta go somewhere. You know what? Love you. When I come back, I say, love you. Just my coming back is a statement itself, saying, hey, I'm back. I love you. I don't need to say it. Revelation, God loves you. Therefore, he is unveiling and revealing himself to you. He has informed us that there's going to be temptation. Be prepared. You will overcome those temptations, no matter what they are, because Jesus overcame. And because he empowers us. The Holy Spirit has been given to each of us who are Christians to lead and guide us into all truth. He is the down payment. He's the partial payment of what is to come for us. So it is a process. We were saved. We are saved. We are being saved. And we know what's waiting for us. And because we know what's waiting for us, there's the hope that will allow us and help us to overcome, no matter what knocks at our door, no matter what we become confronted with, we are empowered to be overcomers. Now, in these seven churches, there's different personalities. We don't see them. You do have, I think in my old notes, you do have what the churches are, what the issues were, right? You do have that. See, I don't even have that in the new notes, because they're in the clouds. First church is Ephesus, right? Jesus commended. And that's there's a formula there. Jesus himself presents it, that he commends each church for something that they're doing. You're doing a good job. Some managers and managing skills are, you know, I have an issue with this employee, but first I have to let them know that there's some good things about them, okay? And the only thing that I can think of right now is that this employee shows up every day on time. That's the only good thing I can say. But it's something. He's commending them. because you're punctual. You get here on time. Okay, now we got to talk about some bad things, you know. But then some managerial skills say, hey, for every bad thing you say about someone, you should say at least 3 good things. But I can't think of, there aren't any. Okay, well, you better find some. Okay, but Jesus commends these churches. What the church at Ephesus, what did he commend them of? Do I have it in the old notes? Well, what kind of church was Ephesus? What was it that he commends them, and then he make accusations against them? What's the accusation against the church of Ephesus? You have lost
your first love.
You have lost your first love. Hank, you will be in a whole lot of trouble if you have lost your first love. Most of us will be in a whole lot of trouble. So this was a church. In fact, this, I believe it's the church at Ephesus that Paul used to be there at that church. Timothy used to be there. And John used to be there. So this church has some great leadership that was there to nurture them. So this church was doing things. But they were doing them without love. They lost their passion. You know, you can get busy in a church doing things. You can get busy in a ministry just doing things. And you could actually be doing them for the wrong reason. We should be doing them because we love God. And we're doing this for Him. The next church. Y'all know the sports station, ESPN. Well, this is ESPT. The churches. Is it Pergamum? Pergamum is what? What is the problem there?
Smyrna?
Yes. Smyrna. They had no problems. They were okay. He didn't have to, there were no accusations against them. What he says is, continue what you're doing. Now, well done.
And get ready,
because I'm coming back. Yes.
Well, suffering's coming.
And suffering makes a difference. If suffering is coming, if everything is going well, you can expect suffering. If everything is going well, you can expect tribulation. Mothers know this very well. If there's peace in the house, that means all the babies are asleep and trouble is coming. Okay? So tribulation is coming. Even though you're doing everything well, even though you're where you're supposed to be, remember this, tribulation is coming. And when it comes, I hope you continue to do well. I hope you continue to stand firm. So get ready. That's ES. Now we at Pergamum, right? And Pergamum, what's the issue there? Compromising with the world. How easy is that to do? To compromise. Sometimes you can compromise and don't even know you've done it. Is that like that? Like the frog put in the pot or the, you know, you sit them there, you turn the heat up, you're still sitting there because it gets accustomed to it. Now we can get comfortable doing what you're doing because you're good at it, because you've repeated it so many times. You can do it in your sleep. You're comfortable with it. But there should be a difference between us as Christians and the world. There should be a difference. There should be such a difference that the unbeliever can see the difference. Now, you have gotten too comfortable if the unbeliever can't tell the difference between your church and a bar, a club, a theater. Then you must compromise somewhere. Compromise is easy to do, but we are overcomers. Now, in this world where these churches was located, there was temple worship, there was emperor worship, there was, in some of these churches, there were temples dedicated to Caesar. And some of these churches in the cities that they were in, there were deals similar to what you might say a union is. You know, down here in the South, you know, where you have that, it's what, the freedom to work or whatever. Up north, there's unions. If you are not a part of the union, you are unemployed. And you have to do what the union says. So people join the union. This in these cities, some of these cities, it was like that. If you were not a part of the guilds for your trade, you didn't have work. Well, and it's, and where these temples and where there was guilds, there was idolatry and immorality. And so here's a Christian has to make a decision. Do I become a part of this? Well, if I don't, I won't have a job. If I don't have a job, I don't feed my kids. So it had something to do with the economy as well. So it's easy to compromise in certain situations like that. And like I said, sometimes you can compromise and don't even know it because you become comfortable. Sometimes there comes an opportunity in life where you have to make a stand for Jesus and you stay seated. Because the majority are not doing it. Because I don't want them to know. Well, you just compromised. Be careful. Because the world is out there. The world is such that it will become a trial and a tribulation for you to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Okay. The next church, what is that? Thyatira? Thyatira. What is their? They tolerated evil within the church. How can you let something evil come into the church? You have to be asleep to allow evil to come into church. Evil does not come looking like evil. Sometimes evil can come looking like an angel. Sometimes evil can come, and it sure does sound good. And you know what? It looks good on paper. So it must be okay. But some of these churches, they tested. I believe Ephesus was one because they tested. They were true to doctrine. Anyone that came in there, apostle, call himself apostle or whatever, they tested them. They made sure that they adhere to the truth. Some churches don't do that. Sometimes you can look like an angel and they just let you in. Thyatira, they were tolerant of evil. And you go, how can a church do that? Well, when you drive up and down the street, and especially in a larger city like Chicago, sometimes I'm up there because I have family there. It's not because I choose to go to Chicago. That would not be my choice. But because family is there, I go. And I say, this is just madness. There are 6 churches in each block. 2 on each corner, probably 2-3 in the middle. And I'm driving to the airport and my brother is driving me and he's going through he's taking a shortcut, going through town, city. And I'm looking, my goodness. We've been on this one street 10 minutes, and I've counted. I stopped counting because I've stopped at 130 churches. What? I don't know. That sounds mad to me, but there are so many churches that split because they can't get along with each other. There are so many churches because we don't believe what you believe. Bottom line, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? That's bottom line. To me, that's bottom line. Now, I understand there are differences in different denominations that you sprinkle, you dunk like donuts or whatever. I understand that. But I'm talking about fellowship. That should not prevent me from having Christian fellowship with you. Okay? We can sit down. We can talk about things. I'll visit your church. I have a church already. I'm not seeking another church. I have a church. But I can fellowship with you. Now, you may do something within your church that I disagree with. Okay? I disagree with a lot of things my wife does on a daily basis. But I still live with her. I still fellowship with her. And sometimes I even say I love her. Sometimes. What's the next church? I have to tie it there. There is another S. Is it? Sardis. What is the issue there? Oh my goodness. Can you be dead and not even know it? You're in a bad position if you're dead and you don't know it. Especially if you're a church. As you all can tell, the time is quickly winding down, and I am not leaving time for questions. Okay? Now, I leave time next week for questions when we have notes. Okay? But that's Sardis. Sardis is a dead church that doesn't even know it. Somebody needs to come by and kick the dirt in the face. Maybe that's at the stage of the church where it's just a monument. Remember a man, a movement, a ministry, a monument. And then maybe that's the situation with a lot of churches in Chicago and some major cities where there's, you drive down the road for 10 minutes, you've already passed 100 churches. Maybe those are, they're just monuments. The church is the people. And sometimes in the church, there are people who are dead. The book of Revelation and those churches are not just, there's not just the churches, but remember, the people make up the church. So in some churches, there are dead people. They need to be resurrected. Or you just need to kick the dirt in the face and be done with it. The next church is Philadelphia. Is the next church Philadelphia? Yes. We all know the word Philadelphia means love. That's the last one. You don't have. So I left Philadelphia. Those are old. Remember, I said those are old notes from the small group. You can leave things out in the small group. They won't catch on. But that's what you have. Philadelphia is not on it. It's on the back page. Oh, see, this side don't know you could turn the page over. Philadelphia. We all know the word Philadelphia means love. Brotherly, okay, brotherly love. It's okay, brotherly love is okay. I have 10 brothers. I don't love them all. I tolerate them. But as a Christian, I love them, okay? Now, I've lived with them, I've fought with them, I've eaten with them, I've run from them. Well, I don't run anymore from them, but that's just part of growing up. A brotherly love. And Jesus wants us to have more than just brotherly love. What's that word? That special word for love? Agape. Now, it's easy to have brotherly love, unless you live in America. But we're talking about agape. We're talking about, would you die for your brother? There I go again. Maybe we're still here. I haven't gotten to that point. But that's what Jesus wants you. He wants you to act at agape, that you would die for him. That's the kind of love they bring. Now we had lied to see. Oh, man, I'm already 1 minute past. There will be time for questions when I finish with lied to see. What's the problem with lied to see? It's what? That's almost like that. Yeah, lukewarm is. Goodness. It's lukewarm. Jesus wants us to be on fire. With agape, you're on fire. You're not on fire with phileo, that brotherly love. That brotherly love is, yeah, I know you, my brother. Go get a job. That's brotherly love. Phileo, I know you, my brother. I know you need help. Here, take my wallet, do what you can. Because I know there's nothing in my wallet. But that's phileo. Oh, that's a lie of deceit. So all these churches have problems that are relevant and prevalent in churches today. It isn't any different. It should be. But it begins with one. It begins with each one of us. It doesn't begin with the whole church. It has nothing to do with this building. It has to do with each of us. And it begins with me. It begins with you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. So Jesus is revealing himself. That's what the book of Revelation is about. Next week, I plan to have notes better than these notes. I will stay away from my wife's laptop. So we didn't go far, but that's chapter 1-3, the seven churches. This is just a formality. Are there any questions? No. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is available to each of us. I pray for each of us that you give us a desire to read your word, to heed your word. Give us each a desire to hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. As we head toward the worship service, prepare our hearts to hear your word. Prepare each of our hearts to love one another. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.